Well, okay, I'm excited about 2009, and you know, we still are kind of in the beginning of the year 2009, and a number of weeks ago, we began this series, mini-series entitled A Taste of the Divine in 2009, and we know that God is divine, and God wants each and every single one of us to taste of His goodness this year. Last year may have been tough for you, 2008. You may have had regrets, you may have had disappointments. Maybe you're living today with some I would've's and I could've's. But friend, let's leave the I would've's and the I could've's where they belong. Where do they belong? They belong in the past. Let's press forward with a wonderful thing that God has got for us in 2009. He's got a miracle in His hand for your taking this year. He's got a job or a better job in store for you. He's got a better paying job in store for you. He has got peace in place of turmoil. He has got joy in place of your sorrows. He's got a relationship, a good relationship for you this year. You know, He probably has the miracle of deliverance for you. You may be bound by drugs, by alcohol, by a wrong relationship. God wants to set you free this year. You know, He's got the miracle of a plan and purpose for your life. He wants you to discover what His plan is for your life. And this year, He wants you to start walking out that plan. You agree with that today? Amen. Say amen. Amen. Last week, we talked about the subject of the thing which captures the attention of God. In order to receive from God the miracle He has for you this year, you've got to be in tune with this thing that captures God's attention. It's the thing that gets the ear of God. So last week we talked about getting God's ear. What is the thing that gets the ear of God? Somebody said prayer. Somebody said what? Praise?
Trust.
Trust. Okay. Anybody else? You got it, brother. What did you say?
Faith.
All right. The thing that gets the ear of God, that captures the attention of the maker of this universe, is faith. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 11:6 says this, "Now without faith, it is impossible to please God."
Yes.
"Because he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." You see, God is the giver of all good gifts. See, you have first got to believe that the giver of all good gifts exists before you can believe to receive the miracle from His hands.
Yes.
So that's why it says in Hebrews 11:6 that you must believe that He exists first and foremost. I mean, you look at the beauty of nature, the grass and the trees and the shrubs and the sky and the beauty of the human body, the complexity of the human body. And you've got to conclude that there is a maker, a cause behind the human body, behind nature. And that cause is God, creator of heaven and earth. So let's settle it in our hearts today that God does exist. Amen. Let's say it together. God,
I believe
that you exist. You know, the attributes of faith that God is looking for in us is this. What kind of faith is God looking for in you and in me? A couple of different things. Childlike, that's good. He's looking for a childlike faith, a doubtless faith, a faith which does not doubt His goodness or power for even one moment. Think about the little three-year-old girl that loves her daddy. And daddy loves her. Comes home from a long day's work, knocks on the door, she runs into his arms. She's got full trust in daddy, full faith in her daddy. Why? Because her daddy provides everything that she needs, her bed, and her shelter, and her food, and her affection. She trusts her daddy, does not doubt her daddy's goodness for one moment. And that's the kind of faith that God is looking for in us. He's looking for that childlike, doubtless faith. He's also looking for a persistent faith, a non-quitting faith, a faith that does not give up.
Amen.
And we have a Bible hero who had persistent faith. Who was that?
Noah.
Okay, Jesus, somebody else?
Noah.
Noah. Of the Old Testament.
Noah.
Okay, he says Noah, Old Testament, I'm thinking. I'd say Abraham. Remember, Abraham was 75 years old when God promised him and said, Abraham, you will be a father of many nations. You know, and it was through Isaac, through Isaac, that the nations would come. How long did Abraham have to wait for the promised son? 25 years. He received the promise from God when he was 75. It was when Abraham was 100 years old that Isaac, the son of the Spirit, was born. He didn't waver in his faith. He was persistent in believing God that what God had promised, God would fulfill. And Abraham was a man just like us. If Abraham could persist in his faith and wait on God, so could you and I. Amen? God is looking for a persistent, non-quitting faith. And how do you grow in this faith walk with God? How do you grow in your faith walk with God? Okay, anybody else? How do you grow in your faith walk with Almighty God? Okay, the Word says it in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to get this Word, the written Word of God, the Bible, deep down in your spirit by reading it on a consistent basis. You got to read the Word to yourself, memorize the Word, and speak it to yourself over and over and over again. That's why it's good to memorize Scripture. Because when you memorize Scripture, then you can speak those Scriptures to yourself. And as you do that, your faith grows. It is strengthened. And that's why it's good to go to church services where the uncompromised Word of God is preached. Because if that minister is preaching the Word of God, he is giving you his Word. And as you listen to that Word, your faith is strengthened. It grows. Your walk with God becomes stronger. Now, I'd like to mention this to you today. Faith in God is an abstract spiritual concept. In other words, faith is this out there concept. How do you grab a hold of it? How do you put flesh and bone to faith? In other words, how do you make faith in God real? What's that?
Believe in Jesus.
Okay, believe in Jesus. Anybody else? How do you make this spiritual concept of faith real? How do you give faith flesh and bone?
Believe in yourself.
Okay.
Believe in the Word of God.
Believe in the Word of God, he says. Okay, good. Well, I think the way you put flesh and bone to faith is by taking the first initial steps in walking out the miracle that God has for you, in walking out your faith. In other words, it's walking the talk. You've got faith in God that God has got a miracle for you this year. Are you willing to take the first initial steps to receive that miracle? Are you willing to take the first initial steps of faith to receive what God has got for you? You know, some of you out there might be waiting on God in faith for your miracle. So you're sitting here at the shelter during the day. I just know and believe that God has got a financial miracle for my life. He's just going to place this sum of money in my lap. He's just going to give me this great job I've always been believing for. He's going to reconcile this relationship that I've been believing for. I believe that God is going to bring health to my body. As you sit there all day and you kind of meditate on these thoughts. That's fine. It's good to wait in faith on God. But waiting in faith on God is not alone. Guess what? Guess what? God is waiting on us to start doing something with our faith. It's okay to wait in faith on God. But God is waiting on us to start doing something with our faith. Remember the woman who bled in Mark chapter 5. We talked about her last week. You can turn there if you have a Bible. If not, I'll kind of tell you the story. Mark 5, verses 25 through 30. There was a woman who bled for 12 years. She spent all the money that she had. Instead of growing better, the Word of God says, she grew worse. She had faith that Jesus could heal her. She said, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. She just knew that she knew that she knew on the inside that Jesus, God the Son, could perform this miracle in her life. But believing was not enough. She did something with her faith. What did she do? She took the first initial steps. She went to the crowd where Jesus was, and she started doing something. She started pressing through the crowd to get to Jesus. And when she spotted Jesus, she stretched out her hand in faith, touched the hem of her garment, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciple says, "Jesus, what do you mean, who touched you? There's people bumping into you all over the place." But he said this was a different kind of touch. It was a touch of faith. When she touched me, I felt power going out of me. See, this woman believed that Jesus could heal her, but she did something with her faith. She physically touched the hem of Jesus' garments. Amen? Friend, it is the same with us. We have got to act on our faith. We have got to, as I said earlier, walk the talk. We've got to take the initial dive into receiving the miracle God has for us. For instance, do you need a job?
Yeah.
You need a job here today. Some of you may be needing a job. Some of you may be believing that God can provide the job. It's good to believe that. That's faith. But how do you get the job that God has for you? You've got to start doing something with this faith, with this belief that you have in God. And that something might be consistently, every day, filling out job applications.
That is correct.
Taking an hour or two every morning, going door to door, filling out job applications. One after the other, until you land an interview. And until that interview lands a job, you've got to be consistent. You've got to do something. You've got to get up off the chair, off your bed, and start doing something with your life, because you're not on this earth by accident. You're on this earth with a purpose. God has got something for you to do on this earth. Amen? You agree with that today? All right. Now, friend, to do your part in the kingdom of God, to do your part,
yes,
to receive your miracle, you have got to feel good about yourself. You know, maybe as a child, maybe in a past relationship, you were talked down upon.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you were told that you were a mistake or an accident going somewhere to happen. And so you've thought about those thoughts over the years, and you don't feel good about yourself today. And so you feel so low, maybe some of you, that maybe you feel like you can do a push-up under a penny. You know? And in order to take those first initial steps of faith, you've got to feel good about yourself. And hence my message today, you are God's best. Let me say it again, friend. You are God's best. You are worth more than all the silver, the gold, and the diamonds in this world to God. You know, a lot of people think of a president of a nation and think, you know what, that president has got tremendous influence. So he's highly valuable. Some people think about a man like Bill Gates, one of the richest men in the world, or Warren Buffett, and think those men are highly valuable because they're so wealthy. Well, guess what, friend? You and I have just as much value in the sight of Almighty God as the president of a nation or as Bill Gates. We are just as valuable to God. The Word of God says in Acts 10:34 that God is no respecter of persons. He sees every single person on the face of this earth with equal value. Don't allow anyone or anything to tell you differently. You are God's best. You've got to start feeling good about yourself, because it's when you start feeling good about yourself and knowing that you're God's best that you can then start taking those initial steps of faith to receive from the hand of God the miracle He has for you. Now, why are you God's best? For the next few moments, I want to talk about some of the reasons as to why you are God's best. Anybody here have any ideas? That's good, man. It's like this brother has read my message. Good. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Guess what? Each and every single one of us in this room is created in the image of God. What does that mean? That means that part of God is on the inside of you. Who is the best being in this universe? Who is the best being in this entire universe? Jesus, God, right? He is the best. He is the most valuable. And if we're created in the image of the best being in this universe, that makes us what? It makes us God's best. Because best begets best. Part of God is on the inside of you. You know, Matthew chapter 8. Let's turn there for a second. A man that Jesus made feel very special. Made him feel like he was the best. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 1. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Verse 3. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Now, I don't know if anybody here knows about leprosy in the New Testament, but lepers in those times in Israel were considered outcasts. They were separated from society. They were made to feel small and belittled. They didn't feel very good about themselves. Nobody wanted to get near them. It was a skin disease that they had. Nobody dared to touch them. But Jesus, God the Son, made this leper feel the best. He made him feel highly valuable. When nobody else would touch this leper, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched them and said, "I am willing, be thou clean." And his leprosy left him. And friend, today you're not a physical leper. You're not dealing with leprosy on your body. But you may have a sort of mental leprosy. By that I mean, you may be a little diseased in your mind and how you see yourself. You may not see yourself the way God sees you. You may see yourself as never being able to accomplish anything, but God is saying, with Christ you can do all things. And so today, God wants to heal you of that mental leprosy that you may be dealing with. He wants to give you a good image of yourself. He wants you to know that you are His very best. You see, when God formed you, He formed the very best at that moment. Say it with me today. When God formed me, He formed the very best at that moment. I am God's best. That's it, friends. He wants to heal your mental image of yourself today and give you a healthy view of yourself. You are God's best. Number two, as to why you are God's best. What is the second reason as to why you are the best that God formed when He created you? What is the number two reason? It's because you have a special part to play in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12. Scripture we've heard before, but bears repeating. 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. There is a part in the body of Christ that only you can fulfill, and nobody else. Let me say that again. There is a part in the body of Christ that only you can fulfill, and nobody else. You may be the hands of the body, called to put the seats out before a service. Now guess what? If you're not doing your part as the hands, people who may need a seat may not get a seat for the service. You may be the mouth in the body of Christ. Maybe God is calling you to reach a group of people with the gospel that only you can reach. And if you're not doing your part reaching those people that should be reached with the gospel may never be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a part in the body that only you uniquely can fill. You're valuable. You can't be done without. That's another reason why you are God's best. And number three, most important reason, why are you God's best? Why are you the best that God created when He formed you? Why is it? Most important reason. It trumps every other reason. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1:18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. At one time, we were part of the kingdom of darkness, but God redeemed us. He bought us out of the kingdom of darkness with the precious blood of Christ. Now, let me ask you this. Let's put our thinking caps on here. How is the value of an item determined? How is the value of any item determined?
How much it sells.
He says how much it sells for. Okay, anybody else? That's right. What you'll take and what they'll give. That's good. The value of any item is determined by the price that is paid for it. Say that again. The value of any item is determined by the price that is paid for it. So if somebody goes out here in Tulsa, right? Hypothetically, for instance, and this person pays $125,000 for a house, what is the value of that house? They call it in real estate the fair market value. What is the value of the house that sold for
$125,000?
$125,000. You got it. Why? How do you know that? How's that value determined? Because that was the price that was paid for it, right? How is our value determined, friend, in the same way spiritually? Think about it. How is our spiritual value determined? If you take that same analogy. Exactly. By the price that was paid for us. What price was paid for us? The blood of Jesus Christ, the spotless, priceless blood of Christ. It is the best blood in this entire universe. If the best blood in the entire universe was paid for us, that means that our value is of the very best in the sight of Almighty God. Does that make sense? You know, if it took priceless blood to redeem us, that means that we are of priceless worth. We are worth what was paid for us, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why you're so valuable. Finally, just to close it off today, how do you rebuild your sense of self-esteem? You may have been crushed in the past, and maybe it's hard for you to take the first initial steps of faith in receiving God's miracle for your life because you don't see yourself that well. But how do you go about rebuilding your sense of self-esteem? Your sense of self-worth? How do you go about doing that? How do you do that?
By reading the Bible.
Okay, by reading the Bible. Anybody else? That's good. Say what?
Praying.
Praying, okay. Anybody else? Tell yourself this every morning when you wake up. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, when God formed me, He made His very best creation. Let's say it together. When God formed me, He made His very best creation. Say that to yourself every morning. When you look at yourself in that mirror as you're shaving, as you're, you know, maybe combing your hair, whatever you might be doing to groom yourself, just say to yourself, I am God's best. And when you speak over yourself on a continual basis, you will begin believing about yourself. And number two, for every negative word spoken over you in the past, speak it 21 times the positive counterpart over your life. For every negative word that was spoken over you, find the positive counterpart and speak it over your life 21 times. So if you were told that you were a mistake, that you're on this earth by accident, you say to yourself, no. I am on this earth with a God-given purpose. Say it to yourself over and over again. I am on this earth with a God-given purpose. I am on this earth with a God-given purpose. I am on this earth with a God-given purpose. I've got a purpose in the body of Christ. I am not an accident. I am not a spare part. I am a vital part in the kingdom of God. Speak positive biblical words over your life, and it will recondition your way of thinking. It will redirect the way you think about yourself. Amen? Does that make sense? Friend, I'm here to tell you today that God has got that miracle. I'm going to say it again. He has got a miracle for your taking. Whatever that is, you've got to take the first initial steps of faith. But to take those steps of faith, you've got to feel what about yourself? You've got to feel good about yourself. Feel about yourself the way God feels about you. See yourself the way God sees you. God sees you as highly valuable. Don't see yourself as any less. God sees you as gold. Don't see yourself as any less. See yourself as gold in the hands of God. Amen?